sports, politics, life. 360 Document Solutions presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at 360documentsolutions.com.
We are reminded on this Friday exactly why so many Republican candidates are running for president. We've talked a lot over the past couple of weeks about all the no-name candidates getting in and why they're doing it. That there are basically two different sets of voters in the Republican primary. There are Trump voters, which is somewhere between 50 and 55% on almost every poll taken. And then somewhere between 45 and 50% are votes for everyone else. Of course, Ron DeSantis leads that group. But as we have watched Donald Trump now indicted on seven criminal charges pertaining to the classified documents from the Mar-a-Lago raid last August in Florida, we now know why these people are running. They're running on the same false hope that Democrats have, and that is that they can lock up Donald Trump, put him in jail, keep him from running for president, and not win the nomination. That maybe even voters will be swayed. Even if he isn't locked up, that voters will be swayed. The problem with this logic is every time this happens to Trump, every single Trump voter digs in and loves him more. They see it as government interference, maybe even an insurrection, a term that we know very, very well, a takeover. And I think we've reached a crossroads here in America where we're going to have to decide exactly what we want to be as a country. We have existed for 260 years on the premise that we do not jail our political opponents, that we have free speech in this country and we allow the voters to decide who our leaders are. Unless you have shot somebody or robbed a bank or committed a real physical crime, we look the other way on many things. We know that a lot of politicians, a lot of presidents through the years, have had to make some really difficult decisions, and they're involved in top secret things and very dicey. I guess the way I'd address this is to ask this question. If this is going to affect the election, if people are really going to change their mind about Trump over documents that he had at the White House, I'd like to ask it this way. Do you care if Barack Obama has documents in his possession right now that were classified when he was president? Do you care? Do you really care that Joe Biden had them? Other than you want to see that treated equally as Donald Trump is treated. Other than that, do you really care that Joe Biden has documents that were stamped top secret from when he was vice president? Now, sure, it was sloppy the way Biden did it, in boxes laying around in his garage. Could they be dangerous? Not likely. They're very old documents, and they're probably documents that have been seen by hundreds of people at this point, if not thousands. We have billions and billions of documents in the federal government. Millions and millions of those are classified. They're impossible to keep track of. Mike Pence is the most straight arrow in the entire world, and he had documents in his possession that were marked top secret or classified. Of course, Mike Pence has been completely cleared in all of this. Completely and utterly cleared because he's now part of the deep state. He's out there running against the January Sixers saying, no, he wouldn't pardon any of them or do anything like that. These ridiculous questions that Republican candidates are asked is absolute insanity. But Pence is part of the swamp now, so they love him. Pence is clear. Biden obviously is going to be cleared. Nothing's going to come of any of this Joe Biden stuff. But Trump, they're going to drag him through the mud. If nothing else, they're trying to anger him, affect his ability to run as president, and cost him millions and millions and millions of dollars in legal fees, which is certainly happening. When I say we have a choice to make as a country, it's really simple. Do we want to be like Ukraine? Because we seem to be in complete adoration of Ukraine and the way they operate their country. There are no free and fair elections there. Zelensky has jailed seven political opponents in the last 5 years. Seven. He's jailed them. Jailed them. He has closed churches. He has shut down media operations of free speech media. Does this sound familiar to you? Does this sound like what the Democrats are doing in this country? If we stand by and allow this, and thank God somebody as high profile as Donald Trump is there to fight this, because I think a lot of Americans are seeing this and saying this really isn't what America is. This is not a serious crime. These charges really are not, in all likelihood, anything to do with possessing the documents. They're going to try to be process crimes that Not that he was in possession of them, but that he didn't turn them over, or he was dishonest in his handling of them, or what he said to the people that were coming to get him, that this is basically a disruption of justice. These charges are disruption of justice, that they know he has these, and is he complying completely and willfully? Do you think Joe Biden is? I don't. I think Joe Biden had documents he didn't know he had. How's that complying? How's that not a disruption of justice? If you're storing them in your garage, you don't know they're there. Or if you have them at the University of Pennsylvania office that he had for a while that he no longer works out of, that he had there in a closet somewhere locked up, if you don't know where they are, but he clearly knew at some point they were taken, isn't that a disruption of justice? If you can't identify where things are and they have to go search every property you have, isn't that a disruption of justice? I mean, these are the same things. And I really don't know anybody that cares. We elect a president. We entrust in our system that our president knows everything that's going on, that he knows every top secret. He knows if there are Martians. He knows if the CIA killed Kennedy. He knows everything that there is to know about every other country. He has access to every document. That's why we vote for president. And we entrust that and give that person the executive authority and power to have and know all this. Why should we care after they're in office if they have some of these documents? If we entrusted them for 4 years or 8 years with all of this, why would I waste any time caring if Barack Obama has these documents? Hillary Clinton had 30,000 emails that she bleached out of her computer, just disappeared. We knew she wasn't supposed to have them. She said she made an error in judgment, that she was not supposed to have them on her personal computer. No charges, no crimes, no anything. And she bleached them out. She whitewashed them out of her personal computer. They are gone. There couldn't be an investigation now if you tried. That is far worse than this Trump stuff. It's worse than the Biden stuff. We know we've had several reports that Obama has classified documents. I expect that George W. Bush has some. Don't you? Things that are personal to him, especially if something is personal to you. Some of these items that Trump had, among the 100 or so classified documents found, were a napkin signed by another leader. Trump loves taking pictures and he loves autographs. Some of these things were really simple. Now, some of them may be of national defense or security. They may have been in there. I'm not saying that every single document that he possessed was harmless. But were we really in any danger as a country that Trump had some documents locked up in a fortress known as Mar-a-Lago, a fortress? Shouldn't we be more concerned about documents in Joe Biden's garage when he's with Jay Leno shooting a TV show and they drive off and leave the garage door open? I mean, if we're being honest, it still comes back to me to the question, do we really care? If we have former presidents and vice presidents that had access to top secret documents, do we care if they're in possession of them? What do we think? A former president is going to execute some sort of a coup over this country? I mean, the whole thing's preposterous, absurd. I think this is a losing deal for the Dems because I think even Democrat voters look at this and go, wow, this is a hatchet job. This is a hatchet job. We know Biden had similar documents. We know Mike Pence had them. There's just no question Obama still has them. And I suspect George W. Bush has them. And none of it bothers me. It just doesn't bother me. And it shouldn't bother you. If we entrusted these people to run the country and have access to all these documents, really, by law, it should be legal for them to take any of them on their departure. They must make way for them to be used by the current administration or have access to them. I get it. But you really should be allowed to take these things and hold on to them as long as they're safe. And maybe we should set up a new system where there are some sort of a safeguard situation where they belong to presidents. I think presidents should be allowed to keep things when they leave. Disclose them to the government, but keep them when they leave. I believe in all that. And I believe this is going to backfire on the Democrats. I do. I think it's going to backfire on the Republicans that are running. The Republicans are all running against Trump on a simple premise that after the 27 previous mic drop moments, gotcha moments, where the left said, "We got you now, Trump. You've been impeached. You're done." After all 27 of the different things they've come after him for, He's still walloping all the other Republican candidates. But these people are running because they're of the belief that there is going to be a poison pill here somewhere for Trump, that they're finally going to get him, that they're going to lock him up, that that's going to be that. What we have learned in other countries, and I think this is important because this hasn't happened here, what we have learned in other countries, and I'm no scholar of the Bible, but not unlike Jesus, when you're persecuted and it is perceived that it is just all wrong, persecuted for something that is not that bad, that is not nefarious, that is not wrong, that perhaps could be done in the name of good, in this case, America first, saving our democracy, saving our country. When people see that, they tend to like you because they believe you're being picked on. They can see that. We've seen it in other countries. We've seen it with other leaders that have gotten elected. Out of nowhere, they're like, uh-oh, the guy in charge wants to jail this guy. Yeah, that ain't right. We're going to vote for the guy that the other dude wants to put in jail. It's terrible. It's what Putin does. It's what Xi Jinping does. It's what Zelensky does. They do it in Venezuela. They've done it in Cuba forever. We can go North Korea. We can go country after country after country around this world of leaders that do this. Those leaders are not popular. The question is, do they have control of the system here? Do they have control of the vote in 24? Have they rigged the election? Will they have rigged the election by then? Do they have control of this country? Have the Democrats executed a coup? Do they have it all? There were even signs of it in the 2022 midterms that they've got their hands in this stuff. There was no reason for the Democrats to do as well in the 2022 midterms as they did. It made no sense to anyone, yet they did do way better than expected. The question is, are they in the middle of executing this takeover for a one party of this country, and do they have it? I think we're going to learn in 2024 the fate of America. I do, and I know that sounds really big and bold and dramatic, and I know Sean Hannity says it every single election, this is the one, blah, 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 blah. I've never felt that way. I do this time, and I think we have a choice to make as a country. Do we want election interference? Do we want to jail opponents? Will this be the new normal? So last night, while this was all going down, Jessica and I tuned it out. We watched a movie. We don't watch a lot of movies, but we were watching a movie last night. And I said, hey, this looks interesting. And it was on Amazon. It's called Being the Ricardos. And it's about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz in the 1950s. After they got married, starting their career, trying to stay together. He was a singer who traveled around the country. She was trying to be a serious actress in Hollywood. And they decided the best way for them to stay together or be together was to do this television show. And so they did it. Throughout the film, and they had their issues, obviously. They wound up getting divorced many years later. But there was a theme of America is incredible. The story of Being the Ricardos bounces around the years, but it focuses on one week before one episode of I Love Lucy. And it was a week where the tabloids came after her because the newspapers said she was a communist. Now, this is 1952. Being a communist, they're just going to lock you up, throw away the key. Your life is over. If you're an American, considered to be a communist. The backstory was Lucille Ball's dad in the 30s, before communism was bad, she said all he cared, he was a worker. And all he cared about was workers' rights, and he had become a communist before anybody knew what communism was, before they knew that communists killed people and took over their lives and did all these other, had all this control. She didn't know, and at a very young age, apparently at 18 or 19, she apparently checked a box somewhere on a form to honor her dad. She never went to a meeting. She was never involved with the Communist Party, but she checked a box. This got out. It became a story this week, and they were under incredible stress. In 1952, it was thought that Lucille Ball was a communist. Desi Arnaz and the guy who played Fred on I Love Lucy in real life were the most communist-hating, American flag-waving patriots you've ever seen in your life. And Desi Arnaz, who came from Cuba, his dad was the mayor of the second largest city in Cuba and was basically arrested and jailed as the mayor by the communists as Castro was taking over Cuba. Desi came here, joined the military, became an American citizen, fought in the war, did all these things, and is the biggest red, white, and blue flag-waving Cuban-American you've ever seen in your life. He, of course, is standing by his wife. He knows her. Even Fred, who they portray kind of as a little bit of a bigot on this show, but, you know, a communist-hating dude, just loved Lucille Ball. She clearly was not a communist. But the entire theme of this movie was, the backdrop of all this was communism and what happened in Cuba and the way they arrested Desi Arnaz's dad, who was the mayor of Santiago, I think was the city where he was the mayor, and put him in jail. The Castros came, got him, locked him up, and that was that. He could no longer run. At some point, Desi Arnaz's dad probably would have been the president of Cuba if they'd kept going and had elections and been a free and fair country. It was amazing that I watched that at the time this was happening and the parallels that we're seeing of what's going on here. This is the exact same thing. They're just trying to jail their opponent to control the country. And if they control it long enough, and if they get all three chambers back again for enough period of time, they're going to change the laws and take over this country, and there will be no turning back. The countries that have gone there have not turned back. Is Cuba better today than it was in the 60s or 70s? Slightly. Slightly. Is Russia today better than the Soviet Union? Yes. But it's still very similar. Is China any better? No. It's communist. Communism is evil. It's terrible. It is designed to serve the people in charge and nothing else. Everyone else will toe the line, will spread everything out and make everybody equal except us. We're in charge. We're the powerful. We're the rich. Everyone else is just servants to us. And we see this happening with these criminal charges with Trump. I never thought this was possible in America. I mean, it just seems like it is absolutely impossible that this is happening in the United States. Donald Trump at this point is scheduled to be in Miami in a courtroom at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. Amazing. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing this taking place in our country. And we have a decision to make as a people. And the bigger issue maybe than any other issue now in America is... And you know, the Democrats started talking about this. Whenever they start talking about this and saying things that you can't even believe they're saying about Republicans, it's always a clue that that's where they are. That's where they are. When they talk about the future of our democracy, the soul of our country, all of these things, that's because they're trying to take it away. They try to say the Republicans are taking that away because they really are taking it away. It's what they always do. Look at this shiny little thing over here. Well, we're doing this nefarious thing over here. That's their game, and that's what this is. And they will tell you that Trump does not like democracy, that January 6th was an insurrection instead of a bunch of chuckleheads without guns that were allowed to walk into the Capitol. They'll misrepresent all of this stuff. They do it over and over. And if this works for them, and Trump doesn't run for president, if he gets to in a legal jam where he has to make a deal and he's out. I'm not going to run. I'll back out if you drop all these charges, whatever. If it gets to that point, our country's toast. They'll never stop. It will happen every single time. They'll find something on Pence. I'm sorry, on DeSantis. They'll go after him. They'll first just try to embarrass him with something and call him all the names in the book that you can think of. Then they'll try to find a crime somewhere, and they'll try to prosecute him. They will not stop. They will not stop. This can't work. This can't work. You don't even have to like Donald Trump. And it's our responsibility to tell people in our circles, especially a lot of the women that don't want to vote for Trump because they don't like him, whatever, it is important for us to articulate this to them and say, this is bigger than everything else. This ultimately is the fate of our country. It is, because we've seen it happen in other places. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is brought to you by Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. I like to talk about our retail sponsors on Fridays before the weekend, so you have a chance to spend your hard-earned dollars with somebody great. If you're looking for anything for your man cave or some bar stools or outdoor furniture, Amini's is incredible. They've got 0% financing available. Appreciate it when you go in there if you mention the podcast. You can also shop there in Oklahoma City, Tulsa, or St. Louis. They have stores there as well. And right now, 72-month no-interest financing, instant cash rebates available on the greatest products for your home. At Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. BeStock.net in Olathe. It's a big warehouse with really inexpensive quality televisions, computers, and accessories. They have every brand, every make, every model. You can see it all at their website at BeStock.net. Or if you're just out and about this weekend and you want to try to win a brand new 70-inch TU7000 Samsung TV, they're giving one away for the 4th of July. You can sign up in person only at BeStock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. No purchase necessary. Just trying to get people in the store to see what it is that they do. So when it's time for you to buy something, you'll consider them. They're giving away this free TV on the 4th of July. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. One free entry per person. And, of course, our friends over at Advanced Medical Imaging. I got a couple of emails this week from folks that have gone to Advanced Medical Imaging to get the heart scan, the plaque score. It's great peace of mind to see that your heart is clear. You can do this for under $100. I don't know why insurance doesn't cover it, but it doesn't. But at Advanced Medical Imaging, it's less than $100. You can make your appointment at medimageks.com. One person emailed me and said, hey, what's the name of that place? And then they emailed back before I even saw it and had a chance to respond. They said, I went to the KK list and found it. Thank you. That's exactly right. If you're thinking about any of our sponsors, they are all at the KK list, thekklist.com. And if you need an MRI or a CT scan, if your doctor says you need it, why wait 3 weeks? You can go to Advanced Medical Imaging and they will accept your insurance and you can opt to go there instead. Online at medimageks.com. Pretty cool move by Texas Governor Greg Abbott. We'll see if it works. This is not getting a lot of attention. Most of the reporting at the border has just had a sameness to it now for a year that's just annoying. It's like, okay, you're showing me this, but there's nothing different. We finally have something different at the border, at least visually. We see something different. Texas Governor Greg Abbott and the people in Texas have devised a floating border to place in the Rio Grande River. The first 1,000 feet are installed at Eagle Pass. Now, that's only 1,000 feet. It's a little over 300 yards. That's not even a good par four. That isn't very much, but they know where these people walk across or where they can sort of walk across, right? So they've devised this thing in Texas that is a floating border that goes right down the middle. It's a series of big inflatable balls tied together. When you try to climb up on the ball, they spin. So it's like one of those game shows you see where you try to run across the course and everything's slippery and spins. So it's a slippery substance. It's really slippery when wet. And when you try to get up over these things, they just spin and you can't get over them. This looks great to me. I have no problem trying this. Here's how it will end. Somebody will cut one. Somebody will get tangled in one and drown. Somebody will try to swim under one and drown. Then that'll be the end. They'll say it's a humanity problem. It's inhumane. Okay. Yeah, all the rapes and deaths and drugs and guns and stuff coming in, that's not inhumane. But boy, we have somebody die on the river trying to cross on their own accord. We've got a problem. I'm going to be a terrible person right now. I'm just going to be terrible. If this slows down traffic, even if it kills some people, I'm okay with it. These people are doing this on their own. They know the dangers of what they're doing. They know it's illegal, but the government is turning the other cheek. There are many ways to die coming to America. There's plenty of people dying on the journey. There's plenty of people dying at the border. There's plenty of people dying after they get here. There's crime. There's rape. There's abuse of children. There is, at very least, indentured servitude, perhaps slavery, with some of these young people, and certainly sex slaves, women. It's all inhumane and awful. It's the worst thing we could do. So you'll have to excuse me if it doesn't bother me, if this actually stops people or slows things down, and they want to put up several miles of it, I'm okay with that. Even if some idiot tries to cut it with a knife, pop it, and deflate it and get through, gets tangled, whatever may happen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's on you. I'm with Texas on this. Let's give this a try. Let's see if it works. Maybe they'll be scared enough or understand, look, I'm not a great swimmer. I'm not going to be the person that tries to go under this thing or do whatever. And maybe it's anchored down, and I don't know exactly what's underneath it, but I think we're talking about mostly this is in places where it's so shallow where you've seen people like walking across. Stop the walkers. That's a good place to start. Let's stop the people from walking across the river. That's a good place to start. Let's put inflatables in a place where people are walking across. So I'm with the Texas governor on that. I'm all good with that. I am in disbelief. And the media, in many ways for me, can't get any lower, more disingenuous. I've been reading stories this week from golf writers that I really like reading golf from. Really good reporters who know a lot of stuff. Kyle Porter's one. There's just a bunch of them. There's just a bunch of great reporters. Kyle Porter's got a story up right now that literally the headline is, who actually will be in charge of the new golf league? And I'm like, wait, what? These people have journalism degrees. They've been working in the sport. They're so brainwashed by the PGA Tour because that's where their paycheck comes from. They're asking the question, who actually will be in charge? There are, if you Google this, if you Google that topic with the new takeover of golf, you're going to find no less than a half a dozen stories been written in the last couple of days. Big publications, Sports Illustrated, CBSSports.com, Golf Digest, one after another. They're going to be saying, okay, exactly how is this going to work and who's going to be in charge? Okay, we don't know the structure of the leagues, the future of LIV, and which tours players will be going back and forth on or what's going to happen. We don't know that. There is one thing certain. Yasir Al-Rumayyan will decide it all. The Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia will decide it all. Let me explain something that is so simple, I could explain this to a five-year-old. Here's a pyramid. Let me show you the pyramid. At the bottom of the pyramid, we have the volunteers of the golf tournaments. The next level of the thing, we have the staff members of the PGA Tour. The next level, we have the golfers on the PGA Tour. We're going up the pyramid. Now we have the executive board of the PGA Tour. Now we have the commissioner of the PGA Tour, or CEO if you want to call him that. And at the very top of the pyramid, we have the chairman of the board. This is the easiest thing in the world. I did a podcast with, I love Danny. We did an unbelievably great 40-minute patron podcast yesterday called Between the Lines 2.0. It is all about the golf. And we don't agree on any of this stuff. And he's asking the question, well, who's going to be in charge? Monahan says he's still in control. You can be in control of the PGA Tour, but you answer to the chairman of the board. Chris Licht just found this out at CNN this week. He was running CNN. He was in charge of CNN, but he answers to the chairman of the board of Warner Brothers Discovery, which is the parent corporation. And he got fired by that guy. Let's make this perfectly clear. If Yasir Al-Rumayyan wants to fire Jay Monahan as soon as the contract is dry, he can. Unless there's something written in there that, you know, Monahan has to stay on for 3 years or whatever. He may put his own language in there. But that would certainly say, I can still fire you if I pay you this amount of money. Because that's what Chris Licht will get paid off. We see that. Tucker Carlson's getting paid. I got paid to not work. Well, it happens. It's a frequent deal with key employees. It's common. It's very common. I cannot believe these golf writers are writing stories. Who actually will be in charge? Let me answer this for them. The chairman of the board is always in charge of any company. The chairman of the board. What was Frank Sinatra's nickname? Wasn't he known as the chairman of the board? Because he was the biggest badass singer, actor, person in Hollywood, right? He was the chairman of the board. The chairman of the board is always in charge. Let me help my fellow journalists that cannot comprehend this, that somebody is actually above the PGA Tour. They have been out there covering golf tournaments, looking at the PGA Tour, getting all their free meals, all the free swag, all the free rounds of golf, all the free travel, all the perks of being in this unbelievable industry of professional golf, sucking up to the people running this tour while they were working one over on the players and not maximizing profits because everybody that works in Ponte Vedra at the PGA Tour offices is getting rich and living the good life and getting all the perks. I mean, this is the most perk-filled industry there is. The free golf, the places you get to play golf, the things you get to do if you work in that little thing is unbelievable. Most of them have played Augusta National. So they sit there and suck up to these people because it's their quality of life we're talking about here. And now they can't comprehend that Yasir Al-Rumayyan is the chairman of the board and that makes him Jay Monahan's boss. They haven't figured this out yet. I'm telling you, folks, the level of stupidity, actually, it's not stupidity. These people aren't dumb. They're not dumb. They can pass classes. They probably can balance their checkbook. We would not consider them the dumbest among us. It's the same thing we see in D.C. It's the bubble you're in. You get into a bubble and you breathe that air and you don't know anything else. I've spent my entire career staying out of the bubbles. I never wanted to be the kiss ass to the Royals manager or the Chiefs general manager or any of these people or an owner. I didn't want to be friends with players. I didn't want to take pictures with them. I didn't want their autographs. I always wanted to be fair-minded, go in and ask questions nobody else would ask. That's how I made my reputation, how I made my name. It worked for me. It's part of my personality. I didn't want to be part of the clique. I never wanted to just sit in the press box and watch games. That was never my thing. A lot of dudes just love going and sitting in the press box, getting a free meal, watching games, and interviewing athletes. And they just can't believe that they're getting paid to go do that. I felt that as an intern. When I started getting paid, I never felt that. I had kids at home. I'd have rather been at home than sitting out at Kauffman Stadium watching another loss, not getting home till 11:30. My kids are asleep. So no, I never felt that. But that's the way these people are. They get in their bubble and they can't see anything else. They literally believe Jay Monahan. After all the lying Jay Monahan has done, by the way, Jay Monahan's the worst person in this. The Saudis were pretty open about what they're doing. Phil Mickelson and company were very open about what they were doing. Monahan lied to his players, and Monahan is lying now. He's telling the media that he's going to be in charge. Well, in charge as the CEO or commissioner of the PGA Tour, sure, we'll give you that. But you're not in charge if the chairman can fire you. The chairman is in charge. Let's make no bones about this. The chairman of the board is in charge. That's how business works. In fact, I'm thinking about changing my title now to chairman of the board of Crooked Tail Media, just to let Jessica know. Just to let her know. If she doesn't whip it into shape and do what she's supposed to do around here, I'm going to fire her. How do you think that would go over at my house? I'll have to go look. It's been a couple, 2.5 years since we incorporated. I think I'm the president and she's the vice president. I think that's true. But it matters nil. I don't think it makes any difference. We're 50-50 partners. It doesn't make any difference. Jessica, I'm the chairman of the board. I just want to let you know. I filed some papers with the state of Kansas. I'm becoming the chairman of the board. But we can make you CEO and say you're in charge. I mean, seriously, these writers are unbelievable. Fry Orthodontics is the great place to get a perfect smile for life. Summer is the best time for your teenager to do it. Whether it's Invisalign or braces, they're not around all the kids at school. They're around their best friends, certainly, but they're not around all the kids. And they just feel a little more comfortable doing this in the summertime instead of during the school year. They can get you right in right now at Fry Orthodontics. If it's time to start for your teenager, or if you'd like to get the perfect smile you've never had, it's great for adults as well. Invisalign is non-invasive, non-intrusive. It's many times faster than braces, and the price is the same. Only at fryorthodontics.com. 13 locations. Your smile is for life, and your smile is just the start at Fry Orthodontics. RobertsRobinson.com. Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC, home of the lifetime warranty. They'd love to have you out to the showroom this weekend. If you're looking for a new Chevy, Buick, or GMC, why don't you swing by Excelsior Springs? They got some great lunch spots there. There's a cool little Mexican restaurant. There's a couple of local places, some historic things to see in Excelsior as well. Swing by and check it out and see what they have at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. Whether you're looking for a new truck or an SUV, it's always right there at Roberts Robinson, home of the lifetime warranty. And our friends at Earth Effects Outdoor Living. This is your new landscaper. Man, if you need something big or small done, they've got it. If you just need, like I did, a berm built around the edge of your backyard and they put some trees in there, it took them a full day to do the job. It wasn't a small job. I think mine was a medium job. It took the crew a full day. I got about 5 new trees in there and some things like that. It's gorgeous. They put lighting in. It's fantastic. They can do things like that, or they can do really big things. They can build you a big patio with a fire pit. They can build you an outdoor kitchen, outdoor fireplaces, entertainment centers, rock walls, retaining walls, drainage, ponds, water features. You name it, they do it. Earth Effects Outdoor. Over 25 years, Daniel Hinks and his team have been in Kansas City doing great work. They are tremendous American patriots with deep Christian values. That's all you got to know. This is a solid company. Okay? These are good people. They should be your new landscaper. Earth Effects Outdoor. EEOutdoor.com. That's EEOutdoor.com. 816-478-7700. I could not recommend anyone more highly. EEOutdoor.com. Tremendous. On to sports, sort of. We did a little golf there. I guess that sort of is sports. And this is sort of sports. It's sports, but it's not. Brittany Mahomes is back in the news. There's a great story at Barstool about Brittany Mahomes. She's online with her 1.3 million followers on Insta selling her clothes. She's selling her used clothes. Many of these are things she got free. Like Adidas sends them stuff. She's got some things that she's put on her social media that she models or wears for them, and she'll wear it one time or she'll post it, and now she's going to sell it and make more money. This is a woman with $500 million because she's married to her husband. This is a woman that will be a billionaire. It's going to be pretty hard to screw that up. To not be a billionaire will be very hard for Mahomes. It'll be next to impossible for them not to be billionaires at this point. Next to impossible. They'll have to blow their money at a rate that nobody's ever blown money before to not be billionaires. And I think they will be multi-billionaires. This woman is online selling clothes to her 1.3 million followers. So Barstool Sports has pointed out that Jackson Mahomes, when he got arrested for, you know, being a do-you-know-who-I-am celebrity trying to stick his tongue down the throat of a bar owner, a restaurant owner, and he's been arrested and charged with crime. We'll see how that plays. Barstool writes it beautifully. Jackson Mahomes took a secretariat-like lead over Brittany Mahomes for the most annoying celebrity Klingon there is. Do you know who I am? Jackson Mahomes constantly screams. Well, Brittany is fighting back. After being 34 links behind the great secretariat of Jackson Mahomes, she's determined to close the gap as she is now selling her clothes, her used clothes, online to us peasants. What is wrong with these people? I can say this. I can say this and get away with it. This is the single biggest white trash things the Mahomes have done. This is it. They've done some white trash things, but this is the number one white trash things the Mahomes have done. 1.3 million followers. We got all these fancy clothes. I'm selling them used. I mean, give them to a charity. Let them auction them. Donate them to a center. You're selling them for profit? Boy, there better be a statement really fast that all this money goes to charity. There better be something, but that's not on there. We don't see that anywhere. It looks like she needs beer money. Brittany's selling her britches for beer money. I don't even know what to make of that. That's such a joke. Frank Clark, the former chief, is now a member of the Denver Broncos. This is real sports. Frank Clark signed a one-year deal with the Broncos for $5.5 million guaranteed. He could make up to $7.5 million. $5.5 million is guaranteed. How nice would it be to have a job where just your options? You could make an extra $2 million this year. I mean, this sounds like a bad contract in today's sports. You know, this is the end of your career. He's playing for just $5.5 million guaranteed. This is one of those things where you just don't retire. Like, I can make another $5.5 million by working the next 9 months. I think I'll do that. And maybe even make $7.5 million. Stinks he's with the Broncos, but he says he knows the division. He knows how to play against the other two teams, and he's been practicing against the third one. That's the Chiefs. So it's familiarity. Players like to do this. They know the opponents. He would have been a $29 million cap hit for the Chiefs, so the Chiefs just couldn't keep him. Frank Clark's a good player, but I'm not really concerned that he's going to wreck the Chiefs beating the Broncos, that he's going to be some sort of a difference maker. So, you know, whatever. Frank Clark won a couple of Super Bowls here, and he played well in the postseason. That's what I'll remember. I'll remember a guy that the Chiefs overpaid, caused trouble, got arrested twice, but when it mattered most in the playoffs, was available and played his best football. I think we all have a place in our heart as sports fans. We appreciate guys that play their best when it matters most. What happens when I mention this player? Alcides Escobar. What do you think of? Actually, there's a shortstop tradition with the Royals. What if I say Buddy Biancalana? What do you think of? You think of, okay, they played their best when it mattered most. I'll take it a step further with a Royals Hall of Famer. How about Frank White? Dude, that guy came up big in big games. So I think we think of Frank Clark in those terms, and I think any athlete would want to be remembered that way. I think I'd want to win titles and be remembered for playing my best in the most important games. That's where Frank Clark is. He's not going to have a lot of important games in Denver this year. I don't think. ESPN is cutting 7,000 jobs over a couple of years to try to save $5.5 billion. We've talked about this before. They're about a year into this. This is Joe Biden. So ESPN is into that, and they have now let Neil Everett go as his contract has expired. You may or may not know Neil Everett. He's a SportsCenter anchor, and he's been there a long, long, long time. Neil Everett is a 61-year-old white guy making a pretty big salary. Easiest guy at ESPN to let go. He says it's his decision. He's going to start a new chapter in his life, but shocking, he doesn't know what that is at this point. Social Security is available in a year, dude. I don't know. I can't pick on this because they're going to do 7,000 jobs, but I think there's going to be some whitewashing here by ESPN. I don't know if you saw earlier this week, Apple Corporation introduced something called the Vision Pro. They're goggles that are immersing you in all kinds of reality, augmented, virtual. It's going to be great for gaming and watching movies. I've said this to friends, and because I do an honest podcast here, I like to find things and say things that nobody else will or think of. Oh, hang on. I'm going to tie this back to Disney and ESPN in a moment. I'm not done with that. The Vision Pro is $3,500. And people are saying it is phenomenal. So they created something that's really, really cool, which is what Apple does. And then they like to make it this thing that you can't afford until it comes down in price because you get the buzz and the rich people have it and all the cool, you know, whatever. Look, this is crazy to say, but if they're sitting there promoting this for gaming, they haven't figured out how to make this interactive. In other words, the Vision Pro isn't you got a family of four, we all get one because now we're looking at $14,000. Well, more than that, $16,000 with tax. $16,000 for a family of four, but you can't sit there and enjoy them yourself together. We believe they're going to start streaming these live soccer matches on there, that Lionel Messi coming to Miami has been part of this. Apple has the streaming package for soccer. Messi is now in America. There's going to apparently be some sort of a streaming soccer broadcast for people that love soccer, that watching on these goggles is going to be the ultimate experience that basically puts you in the stadium. These things are supposed to be amazing. So I'm not getting them. They're not for me. But I'll tell you where they're really going to sell these things if they're that amazing. It's all about the apps. Okay, there's going to be an MLS app. There's going to be an app for this, an app for Madden. There's going to be an app, a specific app, just like there is for your iPhone. There's going to be a specific app for Vision Pro. And it's going to be incredible compared to playing on your phone or your TV. That's what they're saying. If that is truly the case, I'm wandering way far away from Neil Everett and ESPN now, but I'm going to get back there. If that is truly the case, let's be honest what this is all about. Where Apple is going to make their money is porn. There's just no doubt about it. If this thing's going to be so amazing wearing this all by yourself, and they're going to allow all kinds of outside creators to build apps for their Vision Pro. All right, so I veered off. I'm sorry. Back to Neil Everett and ESPN. When Apple unveiled the Vision Pro this week, Bob Iger was there with Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple. Bob Iger runs Disney, and they have worked out a deal for all of the Disney content to be on the Vision Pro. Some sort of exclusive content. You could put these goggles on your 6-year-old, and they can watch Aladdin or whatever movie's out now. Frozen. And your kid will just zombie out for 2 hours. You won't hear a peep when they put these goggles on. They're babysitters for kids. So they've teamed up with Disney to buy these expensive goggles and babysit your kids for you. But Apple needs programming. They've got Apple TV. The hot rumor out there is that Apple is going to buy Disney. A lot of people think that could happen, and that's for content, not just for Vision Pro, but for Apple Plus, the streaming service and all that. That would be very interesting. Then it would be interesting to see if what Iger is doing is cutting 7,000 jobs at ESPN to save $5.5 billion to make Disney more profitable, raise the stock, and get more money for a potential takeover by Apple. I think, was it Amazon that bought MGM or Google? One of the companies bought MGM. So everybody thinks Apple needs a movie studio. They need creative people in their corporation. They're worth almost $3 trillion. I don't know what Disney would sell for. What would Disney sell for? Let's say it sold for $50 billion. I think that's probably high. MGM only sold for $5.5 billion. I have no idea. I just have no idea what they would go for. I have no idea what it would go for Apple to take control of Disney, but they clearly have the money to do that, and I think that would be interesting to see if that happens. And is that why this part of ESPN is happening? And is Apple locking in on live sports content? They've got the MLS. They do Friday night Major League Baseball. If they acquire Disney, they have ESPN and all the rights that go with that and things that they could split between streaming, put them on their new goggles. I don't know. I'm not a tech guy. I'm not smart enough to know the next thing. I do not know the next thing. But it was an interesting week on that front, and Neil Everett is out at ESPN. Stanley Cup playoffs are now 2-1 in favor of Vegas. Vegas won easily their first two games at home. They went to Florida last night and lost in overtime. Vegas had the lead all night. Panthers came from behind to win it 3-2 in overtime. And the only reason I bring this up, if you're not following this, is I'm going to give you here, this is an astounding statistic you're not going to believe. In the playoffs this year, the Florida Panthers, who trail 2-1 but have the next game at home, the Florida Panthers in the playoffs, after last night, are 7-0 in overtime. What? 7-0 in overtime. That's crazy. They are still down 2-1. Our final is brought to you by Amazing Garage Floors, online at amazinggaragefloors.net. North Kansas City Dental, nkcdental.com. Locations in North Kansas City and Westwood, Kansas. Dr. Bill Bush can be your new dentist. And the Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. Also see them at Shields in Overland Park, The Bullet Hole in Mission, Teague Tractor in Belton. Finch Knife Company, keep life from getting dull. This is what Dad wants for Father's Day. He wants a Finch pocket knife. Do it. You'll be glad you did. Ladies, go on, do it. Sons, do it. Do it. Dads, for Father's Day, get one for your son if he's a dad. Any dad would love a Finch pocket knife for Father's Day. Jump on it. Our final is, drum roll please, America's new number one beer replacing Bud Light. There is a new number one beer in America. Bud Light is no longer number one. I know what you're thinking yourself. You're thinking Coors Light? Miller Light? Modelo Especial is the number one beer in America. Their sales are up $333 million year over year. In May, they were the number one beer in America. Bud Light has been dethroned, and we now have a Mexican beer as the number one beer in America. So there you go. The boycott has hoisted Modelo and a Mexican company up to the top. Modelo Especial. I've had Modelo Especials on vacation one time many, many years ago. We were excited to be going to Cabo. And on the way home from work, I think we were leaving on a Wednesday. So I'd worked Monday and Tuesday. I was taking Wednesday through Friday off. We're going to fly Wednesday and Sunday, go to Cabo. Would that be four nights? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Four nights in Cabo. On the Tuesday night, I was driving home. I was so excited to be going with Jessica to Cabo that we were going to pack that night. And on the way home, I thought I would treat her with a little surprise. And I stopped at the liquor store and I got some Modelo, which I'd had it on vacation before or something. I don't know. I picked up a sixer of Modelo's, ice cold, and we sipped on a Modelo while we packed our bags to go to Cabo the evening before as we were packing. That's my favorite. I've drank many Modelos on vacation since then. I like it. I've got no issue with the beer. That's got nothing to do with anything. That's when I hear Modelo, that's what I think of. I think of that night that I brought home a sixer and we each had a couple and we left a couple behind. We didn't finish them. We were packing. We were getting up really early. I think we had like a 7:30 flight or something. So it wasn't like we're going to, you know, I just thought that was sweet. It's the sweet little moments in life that you remember most. I was disappointed she didn't appreciate the sentiment that much that night. And I've not mentioned it to her in years, but I'll bet if I bring it up to her, I can see it in her eyes that she remembers it and remembers it well and thought it was really sweet and cute that I did that. And at that time, I was almost strictly a Bud Light drinker. When you go to Cabo, pretty hard to find a Bud Light. They're going to serve you a lot of Modelo, and it's tasty and cold when you're in Cabo San Lucas. Have a great weekend. If you want to sign up as a patron, we would love to get you the newsletter on Saturday. If you sign up before Saturday morning, gets emailed right to your inbox, as do the patron podcast. We did a really lengthy discussion with Danny yesterday about the golf merger this week. It's 40 minutes long. I think it's a terrific podcast. I think you'll really enjoy it. If you want to sign up, become a patron, we'd love to have you do that. Just go to kkhasissues.com. It only takes 5 minutes or less. It's $5 a month. Do it on your laptop, desktop, whatever. It's easier than on your phone. You're going to love it. We do 3 premium podcasts every week, and we send you the newsletter on the weekend. We know that you will enjoy that if you sign up at kkhasissues.com. Short of that, thanks for listening. Thanks for telling your friends about the podcast. And feel free all weekend long, anybody you bump into, to remind them that you think that Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.